Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. So welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's guest is Dee Dee Brown. Dee Dee, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for inviting me to chat with you on your podcast. I'm really excited to be here. So for those who don't know me, my name is Dee Dee, as Laura said, and I live in the New York City area. I read all the time, and in between chapters, I talk about books mostly on Instagram. My handle is Dee Dee Reads. You spell my name D-E-E-D-I. And I also blog about books at DeeDeeSpeaking.com/reads. And let's see, my favorite genres are literary and contemporary fiction, fantasy, both young adult and adult, and memoir. So that's me.
I love it. And we're going to talk about BookCon, and we're going to talk about books to recommend. So I'm excited for our conversation today.
Totally.
So you attended BookCon, and you have some tips about attending, which tell us all about it.
Yeah. So this past year was my second year attending BookCon, which for people who aren't familiar, is this huge conference that happens in New York the weekend after Memorial Day every year, and it's just absolutely gigantic and a ton of fun. So this is my second year attending, and so I've kind of like gotten the process down a little bit, I think. Mm-hmm. And so here are my biggest tips about attending BookCon if you go. First and foremost, wear sneakers. I'm not talking like Keds. I'm talking like running shoes, like sneakers, mm-hmm. like Nikes that will be really comfortable. Like, just trust me. Like, I know they might not go with your outfit, but like, trust me.
Mm-hmm. I'm agreeing with that.
Yeah. Next is to bring a backpack, at least a backpack, because you're definitely going to acquire books and maybe some other stuff too. And if you can have like a little fold up bag or like a tote bag that you can also stick in your backpack in case you need a second bag, that is kind of a fun little BookCon hack. Let's see, bring snacks and a water bottle, because they do serve lunch there. But if you're stuck in a line or you're at a panel, then you might want a granola bar or something, and you can refill your water bottle at the drinking fountain. Okay, so that's all the things that you should definitely bring. And then my biggest tip is that you should basically do your research ahead of time. I know that some people come to BookCon and they're like, I'm just going to float around and, you know, see what's happening. And those people definitely have fun and have a good time, but you're going to walk away with a little bit of a sense that there were things going on that you didn't know about. And you can find out about those ahead of time. And so, for example, authors might be at, you know, their vendor booth doing signings or giveaways. Some publishers will give out free books or advanced reading copies. But you have to know when they're going to give them out. A lot of that is on email newsletters, so you can sign up for the publisher's newsletters ahead of time, or even sometimes on Twitter, not always by the publishers, but sometimes even by the authors. And the author will be like, hey, go to like this booth number and the password is, you know, this word, and then they'll give you a free book. You know, following those people and signing up for those newsletters. And so you can just like have a plan so that you can go in and you're like, okay, I know I have to be here and here and here. And then in between, I'll just fill in with other fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And then my last tip is about the ticketed autographs. So at BookCon, they have major authors come in and they do autographing sessions, but you have to get a ticket ahead of time. They're free with your show ticket, but you have to register for them. And people sometimes will be like, oh, well, I'll just like, you know, log in that morning and get it, or this author won't go too fast. And like, that is like a lie. Like, your tickets are going to go really, really fast. And so what I did this year, which was really successful for me, I was able to get autographing tickets for Leigh Bardugo and Tomi Adeyemi, which were both really hard. Basically, I knew who I wanted. I refreshed the page like right at 10 a.m. when it went on sale. And then I used like Control F for find to like find their author's name really, really fast and put them in my cart and then check out. And it was really intense and it was over in like 30 seconds, but it was successful. So those are my tips.
I love it. I love that tip about control fine, because I noticed for me, I ended up having, I had a spin class that day, so I didn't go at 10 a.m. So I just like look at the end of the day. I think I signed up like a couple hours later and I was like, I only got like the last of what was available. And that was what I heard was like, it would be gone in like 30 seconds. Like just
tickets are
gone.
Yeah, I had a group of friends and we were all logged in at the same time. And two of us were able to get Leigh Bardugo and the rest of us didn't.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's kind of crazy for me. BookCon, I think I like BookCon about the panels. I like the experience of like going to the panels, getting to know the authors, getting to see what is available. I personally don't like to be in the show floor because it's too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. There's like too many lines and too many people. But it's kind of fun to just to get some free books. If you're like all about the books, you just have to plan ahead, I think, for BookCon. Yeah.
I think that this year was a little bit more crazy on the show floor. I think because I think that this is the first year that they had authors signing books like in the booths, like as like a scheduled thing.
Yeah.
And they didn't necessarily know quite how to handle that. So I'm really hoping that next year they kind of like have the logistics around that in place a little better. Because I think that once you kind of like, it was really just like they opened the floodgates and everyone like ran and like pushed each other to get to some of these places. And I think that if they can figure out how to corral that, then it will be great.
Yeah, they need help with line management. I think sometimes the publishers don't know how to match the crowds, or they'll say it doesn't open till 12, don't line up, and people start lining up at 11. And so then they're like, there's like the Hunger Games of trying to get to the right line.
Yeah, I actually this year last year also did one of the writing workshops. They cost a little bit extra, but they bring in these great teachers and they do writing workshops in the morning. And so I was up on the second level Saturday morning before they let everybody in, and I could see down, like there was a window to the show floor, and I could just see this giant pulsing mass of people waiting to be let in, and everyone up there was like, oh my goodness, it was wild.
Yeah, I woke up at 7. I woke up at 6 in the morning. I got there at 7 in the morning. And the line was outside, like, halfway through the avenue. The show hasn't opened up. And then, basically, like, I waited in line. I waited in the wrong lines. But I ended up waiting in line for, like, 3 hours so I can get one book. You know, it was wild. Like, there were, like, hundreds of people.
Yeah, some people on the Facebook group, because BookCon this year implemented a Facebook group, there are people who were like, it's 4:45 a.m. I'm here. Where are you guys? And I'm like, what are you doing?
I believe you. I believe you. They were like 4 o'clock in the morning. Like 7 in the morning, the line was like halfway, like all the way down the avenue. That's how long the line was. And I was like, how in the hell? Like, who wakes up this early to get a few free votes?
Yeah, I know. Well, and I think that, I mean, this, we're making this sound like really intense, and it is intense, but also like if you just want to go and have fun and like be there to like, just to have fun, I mean, it's still enjoyable. It's, you don't have to join the throng of crazy people if you don't want to.
Yeah, no, you don't. You can just go and have fun, go to panels, go to like different things.
The panels are great.
Yeah, the panels were great. So how was the writing workshop?
It was a lot of fun. So last year I did creative nonfiction, which is like memoir writing. And then this year I did literary fiction. They usually also have a science fiction class, or like a young adult class, kind of like that other flip side of the coin. But they're great. They bring in great teachers who like teach writing for a living. I remember the first year I had a professor who teaches at Sarah Lawrence, which is a really upstanding writing school here in the city. And it's just, they do a little bit of lecture. They give you a little bit of time to brainstorm and like kind of try out the techniques. And it's great. I always walk away feeling really inspired to write a little bit more. And I also really like that I get to meet people in like a more low-key setting. They usually set up like round tables. So you can, you're sitting around a table with some other people who are also there to have fun like you are, and get to know them, which is always great.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was wondering about those workshops. I was like, oh, this is like fun, you know, but then finding books, that's the other part. So.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the days, like, you'll sacrifice being able to line up early one of the mornings, but, and yeah. It, like I said, it costs, I think, $15 extra, but I think it's worth it. I always enjoy them.
Yeah, I think that those things are worth it. Like, if they're in alignment with what you're looking for, you get to connect with other people, you get to connect with teachers. I think that's, like, a really great experience.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, now let's get to a round of book recommendations. So, Didi, what three books you read this month that you would recommend?
Okay, this is always a tough question. Okay, first, I recently read The Need by Helen Phillips, and it absolutely blew me away. It's one of those books that's hard to tell you much about without spoilers, because you kind of have to, like, you have to have exactly the same amount of information that the main character has at every point in the story for it to work. So I can't really tell you very much about it, but the opening premise is that it's about a mother who's home with her two young kids, and she thinks that she hears an intruder in her house. And it opens kind of like a thriller, but, like, the truth about who that intruder is will 100% blow your mind and the genre out of the water. And that's really all I can say. That was really good, and you should read it. It's not a very long book.
Okay,
second, I'm going to choose Naima by Sarah Blake. That is spelled N-A-A-M-A-H.
Okay.
And so this one was super different, but it was so, so good. So Naima is the wife of Noah, as in Noah and the Ark, but it's not like a biblical book. It's actually a really feminist read, and a little bit, or like maybe kind of a lot, abstract. And Naima is a really sexual person, and she also kind of like resents God and like how he loves Noah, but like burdens the rest of her family, like, and her with this like not so small task of like being the matriarch of humanity. No small ask. And so if it's okay, I would like to read you a very short quote from it, because I just think it's really powerful.
Yeah.
Naima is swimming out in like the flood waters after the rain has stopped, and she's speaking to an angel, although not really the kind of angel that you would expect, but they're talking about God. Okay, so, "Are you here to judge me?" Naima asks. "No." "Do you regret me as he does?" "He does not regret you." "He does not regret Noah. I am just loved by the man he does not regret." "Is that not enough?" "No," Naima says. "That is not enough." Chills. Like, I just, like, I can't handle it.
That's
so good.
Really
good. It was so fantastic. Okay, so that's definitely number two. And then third one, I think I'm going to go with Real Queer America, LGBT Stories from Red States, by Samantha Allen. So Allen is a transgender woman who writes for the Daily Beast, but she grew up a man in the Mormon church, which is so interesting and really, like, lends a lot to the narrative. But it's like memoir meets reporting nonfiction. She and a friend take a road trip to all these queer communities in red states like Utah and Texas and Georgia, and they get to know these people who live there and ask them why they stay there instead of moving to a more progressive place like New York and California. It was really eye-opening and really, really well-written. It reads fast and it reads really well.
I can imagine that would be a great book to read in this political climate or so divisive. I think that would be a great book to read.
Yeah, and I actually read it as I hosted a book club at my office, and we read that book, which was really great because, like I said, I live in New York, and so I think sometimes here we feel like we're in, like, a little bit of a bubble, and we're like, well, this is the best place. I'm like, well, why wouldn't everybody want to live here? And, like, we kind of, like, write off those other states that, like, don't have as progressive of policies or communities as, like, oh, well, we just won't live there, we just won't go there. But, like, those, if we leave those places behind, how will they ever catch up? It was just a really great read.
That's so exciting. I love it.
Yeah. So what about you, Laura? What are some good books you read?
So I ended up going back to basics this month. I've been reading a lot of, like, literary fiction, some young adults. So I needed to just go back to what makes me happy. So I've been reading rom-coms, like, just basically rom-coms. So I read The Prenup by Lauren Lane, which is a slow burn. Basically, the premise is they got married 10 years ago, but they never lived in the same place. And so one of them wanted to get a divorce, but in the prenup, it says that they need to be living together for 3 months. So hilarity ensues, and they're, like, basically trying to have, like, some immigration issues.
they don't like each other. They're basically trying to live in the same place. But it was really cute. It was slow burn. Like, literally didn't kiss until 95% of the book. And it totally worked. Which
oh,
is
that's
normally,
so great.
Yeah, so normally they need to kiss, like, you know, earlier in the books. but this time I was like, it worked. It was like 95%. I was like, they did not kiss. They did not do anything. So, but it worked. So I was happy about that one. I read Would Like to Meet, which doesn't come out until December 3rd, but I would say it is actually one of my favorite books of the year. It's a rom-com. It's set, it's basically an assistant who works for an agent, and she has to work for a writer, helping him write a rom-com movie, and so he says the rom-coms don't work, and so she has to prove him that they do work. So she goes to and does all these rom-com meet cutes, like from 10 Things I Hate About You, from The Holiday. So she reenacts them, and she proves them, like, you know, they do work, or they don't work. So it's actually really cute. The romance is, like, it's not as amazing about it, but I think the whole point about the rom-com, it works. So I do really love this book.
That one sounds good.
Yeah, that was a cute one. And then I just read Flash by Zoe Castile. Mm. And this one is actually, there's a series of Magic Mike. It's inspired by Magic Mike. So it's a male stripper review group. So this is book three of the series, and it's one of the male strippers who became like a romance novel cover boy. he had an accident, and he became a recluse living in Montana. And so this is a story about him. So it was cute. There was no Magic Mike, which I was disappointed, but the story was like angsty and it was like everything that I wanted in romance. And I'm like, I'm misreading. And I was like, oh, this is what I want. So I really love this book. But
that's,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. So I read a lot of rom-coms, romance, you know, just kind of like, it makes me happy. And I think that's where I just need to just focus on, not just reading for the sake of reading for art or,
yeah,
for review, and just reading for the sake of, like, it feels good.
Yeah, that's why I really love genre fiction, like, especially love, like, young adult fantasy. Like, mm-hmm. It's just, like, a fun thing that you know that you love, and you can go back to it, and you're like, I'm going to be happy here, and that's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something to be said about going back to your comfort zone and just being like, let me just try it here a little bit. Let me just give it a try, and just feeling good about it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
So which book has surprised you that you read this year?
Okay, so I have two. So okay. The first one has to be Hollow Kingdom by Kira Jane Buxton. And so it's an apocalyptic comedy narrated by a like bad mouth domesticated crow. He lived with a man named Big Jim, and he thinks that humans are called mofos, which is like honestly just so hilarious. But then there's like this virus that pretty much wipes out all of humankind. And so the crow and his animal friends have to like kind of save the world as they know it. For the animals that are like left behind by the humans. And it was laugh out loud funny. Like I was laughing on the subway. I was like, I hope people don't think I'm a weirdo. But even if that kind of humor isn't usually your thing, like Buxton is just so witty. But what was really surprising about it was that it was also super beautiful. Like the crow just has this gigantic heart and he just like loves humans and the world that we have built like just so much. And although he swears a lot and he makes crude jokes that like go a little bit over his head, he just sees beauty everywhere and he wants desperately to preserve it, and it was fantastic. I can't say enough good things about that book. Mm-hmm. And then the second one that I was pleasantly surprised by was The Flatshare by Beth O'Leary, which some of your listeners might have heard of, but it's a rom-com type novel, but it dealt with a really important topic that I don't think the cover blurb did a good job of like mm-hmm. telling people that it would. And so you won't like see this much based on that cover blurb or other people's reviews. But they call it this light, feel good beach read. But there's actually this huge trigger in there if you have trauma from relationship abuse. And mm-hmm. I thought that the book did a really good job of dealing with that. And I don't think that we as book reviewers often do a great job about flagging triggers like that because we are nervous about spoilers. But I think that it's really important and I'm trying to get better at it. But I thought it was really well done, and it did have a great ending, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the flat hair. I think for me, I struggled at the beginning with Leon's voice, like just the narration. But then I just got through it. I really love how they handle the topic, that the trigger warning. I think that's what set it apart from this book. Like, it was not a beachy read. Like, there was like some depth
there.
And that was actually what I enjoy about the book.
Me too. I really love it when genres that like have so many books in them and are often so formulaic find like that one thing that really just makes it like do something different. That is that surprise is what I really live for, especially in the romance genre.
Yeah, I love it. So are there any books that you think we can skip?
Okay, so this one's hard because I don't waste my time on books that I don't like. I'm one of those people who is like, if I'm not enjoying it, I have a really long list and I'm just going to move on. But so a book that I liked but is definitely not going to be for everybody is Black Leopard, Red Wolf by Marlon James. And so if you haven't heard of it, it's an epic fantasy novel, which is also called high fantasy, an adult fantasy. And this book is just so, so dense. It took me a really long time to read it. I was reading like 30 pages an hour. And also it took like 200 pages to really feel like you'd found your way to the plot even. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of graphic and dealt with really heavy themes. So like I said, I liked it, but I'm a fan of high fantasy. And if you like quick reads or more lighthearted stuff, then like that's probably not for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like it's like high fantasy. It seems like a lot of like dense about it. And then you have a mix about it. And I was like, it's interesting, but I don't think it's going to be a book that I'll pick.
Yeah. And this one is like high fantasy turned up to 11. Like, it's like another level of like, you know, heavy, dense read. But I mean, I'm really impressed by it. And I might read the second book. But I definitely am not going to be recommending that to like everybody and their mother because it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I hear you. So what books are on your TBR for the rest of the summer?
Oh, good one. Okay, The Water Dancer by Ta-Nehisi Coates, which comes out this fall, but I was lucky enough to get a review copy of, so I'm really excited about that one. That one's going to be really anticipated. Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid, which I still haven't gotten to, although I will, I promise.
Okay.
Another backlist is The Raven Cycle. So there are four of them by Maggie Stiefvater. And then lastly, I think Kingsbane, which is the sequel to Claire Legrand's Furyborn, which is released a few months ago. What about you?
So FYI, I read Daisy Jones twice and I wanted to listen to it. I love Daisy Jones. It's so good. And reading
That's good to know.
Reading the second time was just as good as the first time. So it's worth the reread. It holds up.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to read it soon, I promise. It's just like one of those that like, because it's a backlist title at this point, like it just keeps getting pushed, but I am going to get to it.
Yeah, if you like audio, then you should pick up the audio because it's a full cast audio. So all the different people play the part. And the way I can describe Daisy Jones is like, it's like Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac, 1970s, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You feel like the band is real and you want to Wikipedia and you're like, when did this happen? You know, why did it break up? So it
was I've heard that.
It's so good. Like, you feel like you need to Wikipedia the whole thing. So,
good to know.
Yeah. So it's good. So let's see. For me, I think I have Three Women by Lisa Tadell, which is my book of the month pick. Then I have How Cushy by Lauren Mechlin, which is in New York side of friendships and when they're in their 30s, and it's about podcasting. So I figure that's like in alignment with me. And then Evie Drake Starts Over by Linda Holmes. Like, I have a hard copy and have a finished copy. So I'm like,
I've seen that one a lot.
Yeah. So I heard it's cute. I heard it's like cute rom com set in Maine with a baseball player. So I'm curious to see if it holds up in the rom-com world.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you, Judy, for being on the show.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me.
This is awesome. So now we want to hear from you what you're currently reading. Come on over to the blog, watch my next blog, and share what your favorite books are for this month. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We'll be back next week with a brand new author interview. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.